Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of The Worst Advice I Ever Got. I'm your host, Sean Taylor, along with my producer, JB. And today, our guest is Evren Ozga. Evren is an entrepreneur and an endurance athlete. In fact, he has the world record for the fastest crossing of the UAE on foot. Back in 2024, he set that world record by running across all seven Emirates, covering about 630 kilometers in just under 6 days. In addition to these unbelievable accomplishments, he's someone who spent years chasing what most of us would call success. Money, recognition, the whole thing. And you know what? He got there. But the worst advice he ever got? Well, it was baked into all of that. In this episode, you'll hear what happened after he reached the top and why it wasn't what he expected. Evren, thanks for joining us today.
I appreciate it. Good to be here.
So, Evren, I'd love to jump right in and hear from you. What's the worst advice you ever got?
Well, the worst advice that I ever got was that the shortcut to happiness is to be really successful.
The secret to happiness is success. Sounds clear enough. Where did you hear the advice and how did you take it?
You know, it wasn't so much that somebody said it to me. I think it was more about what I saw, what I heard, just from being around like mainstream media, what I read in books. It just seemed to me that anyone that was kind of happy or doing well or was fulfilled was successful. Like success seemed to be tied to that. So it was kind of in my ear, and we all see it, right? Like from when we're kids, it's the successful guys that just seem to be the happiest, and the ones that have failed and the ones that are going through troubles, they're the unhappy ones. So I dedicated basically my entire life, or the first 25 years of my life, just to that. Like, I want to be successful, and that's going to lead to happiness. And then I'm going to walk off into the sunset and everything's going to be great. And yeah, it seemed to be pretty good advice at first, but then, some things changed and I realized that, it kind of changed my perspective a little bit.
So Evren, what does success mean to you? Like, define success when you talk about it.
For me, it was business. Like, I wanted to be really successful in business. My father was a self-made man, and I would always hear his war stories about, you know, how he set up the businesses, how he went through the hardships. And I wanted to do exactly the same. I said, right, I want to set up my own businesses. I want to be successful. That's going to lead to happiness. That's going to fulfill me. So my whole life, I was on this mission. So that kind of started off when I was 16. And my job was basically international sales. So what I would do is kind of take our collections and go travel in the world selling these collections. And that's kind of how I learned the ropes of business. And I ended up with my own division of the company. So it was a really good way to kind of earn my stripes. It was really difficult work. I mean, it sounds glamorous, kind of like traveling the world and stuff, but it was a lot of, like, you know, lonely nights. It was a lot of early mornings. It was tough work, but eventually I did get some success off the back of it. This was 2014, 2015. But nowadays on Instagram, I can put a post right now from Dubai and say, I'm in Colorado, I'm in, you know, New York, I'm wherever. But in those days, I don't know if you remember, but it wasn't like that. You had to be at the place. You guys remember that?
Oh, yeah.
You couldn't do that. So I developed a little name for myself, because I was like, one minute I was in Portugal, next minute I was in New York, next minute I was in Paris. So people are like, oh, this guy's everywhere. So I was kind of feeding into my whole success story that I was kind of telling myself. Then it came a time where I went to do my own thing. So I started off my first business, which was called Mallet London, which was a footwear brand. And we quickly grew that to a global business. And in 2019, we actually sold a portion of the business for a large figure. So it was in the multiple of millions. And during that whole period, it was a constant dialogue of the end goal. Like, okay, I'm doing this and I'm losing sleep, but it's okay because I'm working towards this goal. And I'm not seeing my family, but it's okay because I'm working towards this goal. And my health is suffering, and I'm smoking every day, and I'm drinking every day, and I'm spiraling down this depression, but that's okay because I'm going to get to this goal eventually. And when I get there, everything's going to be fine. And then I finally got there and I felt nothing. Like, I felt depressed. Like, there was literally no fulfillment there. It just seemed like the past 10 years had been wasted, because although it looked great from the outside, I didn't really enjoy a minute of it. I was all working for this moment, only to realize that there's nothing here. This is empty. So what is it all about? And then that's when my addiction started to get a little bit more out of control, because I thought that there was a problem with me. I thought that, you know, I'm successful now and everyone is telling me I'm successful, society, friends, colleagues. Why am I not happy? Why am I not fulfilled?
Did you feel trapped? Why couldn't you just change?
I tried to quit alcohol many times. I can't even tell you the amount of times I tried to quit, you know, 30 times maybe, because it was starting to get a problem. And I was married at this point. I got married when I was 26 and 26, 27. My wife will kill me for not knowing. But but it was, yeah, I was married by this point. And once we had kids, then it started to really, we could really sense that it was a problem, because it was just out of control. Like, once I started drinking, couldn't stop. I was just the worst role model you could imagine. It was really tough, because it's one thing wanting to change and like kind of deciding that you want to. But from that point until when you actually do is a very dark moment. And I don't wish that upon anyone, because it's like, you almost feel like you're all alone in the world, because you're just helpless against this feeling, against this emotion. And it feels like there's nothing you can do. So yeah, that was a really dark time in my life, that 4 or 5 years.
So you're seeing the negative effects of your lifestyle, but you haven't addressed it yet. Was there a specific moment you saw that made you say, I need to change and I need to do it now?
There were many moments, right? But the kind of thing that tipped it over the edge was really understanding that my way of life is going to affect and damage the relationship that I have with my kids. When my wife had finally said, listen, I love you, but we have two kids. We have two boys that look up to you. You're not a good role model. I have to save them. When she actually put her foot down and said, listen, I'm leaving. Then that was when I said, okay, just give me one last chance. I'm gonna give this one last chance to quit and like really try something. And I heard somebody say to me, when you're trying to improve your life, don't take something away. You have to replace. Because for me, drinking was pretty good. So I had to replace that with something, you know, something that I was maybe interested in, or something that could get me a little bit more mentally stronger. And it had been around 7 days. It was June the 6th, the day that I stopped. 7 days was a big achievement for me, by the way. So I'm 7 days in. I'm looking for stuff to try and, you know, keep me excited. And I said to myself, you know what? I'm gonna try running. This is 2021. We're still in lockdown. It's still COVID times. And I was in Turkey at this point, and said to myself, all right, let me sign up for a marathon. If I can do a marathon in the next like couple of months, that would be an amazing achievement. That might change the trajectory that I'm on right now. That might change things up a little bit. So I'm online looking, and the only thing, and yeah, it's been about 10, 12 days at this point, I'm really struggling. The only thing I can see, the only race I can find, is a 100-mile trail race through the mountains of Turkey. That's the only race that is not canceled. Because bearing in mind, I know nothing about this world. Like, I'm like, that is impossible. I realized that this is over one day and it's not a joke. People are actually doing this. So I just close my laptop and I'm like, okay, well, that's the end of that. That's not gonna happen. So finally I gave in and I said, look, this is my life. This is who I am. My father drank, my grandfather drank. I can't do this anymore. I'm giving up and I'm gonna start drinking again. My wife is gonna find out that I've failed. She's probably gonna, you know, leave me, take the kids, and you know, we're gonna deal with that. So I went upstairs, got my car keys, went downstairs. My plan was to go to the supermarket, buy a bottle of Jack Daniels, and drink it in my room. Not very glamorous. That was my life. And I'm about to leave the house, and my son comes through, and he's wearing one of my t-shirts. Obviously, it's too big for him, and he's like almost tripping over the t-shirt. And my wife and her mom, she was staying with us at the time, came rushing over to him, and they're trying to get the t-shirt off him because they don't want him to fall. And he won't take the t-shirt off. And he says, I want to be like daddy. I'm not taking it off. I'm stood there. I'm like, nah, Everin, you've got to give it one last chance. You've got to give it all you've got. You might not get another opportunity to do this. And you have an opportunity here in front of you, this 100-mile race. Who knows what's going to happen, but this might change your life. There's a chance that this will change things. So I went on the laptop for the ultra marathon. And then 4 weeks later, I was at the start line. And that's
4 weeks.
Start 4 weeks. Yeah. 4 weeks. Yeah. And that was, okay, that was the start of the changing point. still to this day, I mean, I've done so much since then. I've done a couple dozen ultras. I've broken world records, triathlons. I've done quite a lot, and I'm still going. To this day, that was the hardest thing that I've ever done. It was 28 hours of just me being on a mission, right? Let me get to this finish line. Let me just get through this, because if I do, it might change everything. And that was what I was telling myself the whole way through, you know, thinking on my kids, thinking on my life, thinking if I go back to my old ways, that's going to, you know, I know what the path is. That's going to lead to me losing my kids. It's going to lead to an early death. If I go here into the unknown, then there's a chance there. It was almost like a small light at the end of a tunnel.
You start to see some glimpses of hope for yourself as you finish the race. Man, what went through your mind as you passed through the finish line?
There were two things that I felt. I felt incredible. I felt incredibly proud of myself for accomplishing this. But at the same time, I was just incredibly disappointed in myself for all those years that I wasted. You wasted so much time throughout your 20s. Like, you could have been putting your time to so much more use. You had all of this inside you. It was just a change in my mind. And it was a mixture of emotions. And I'm still feeling those emotions now. I mean, just, you know, I almost got choked up talking about it earlier, where I've lost that time and I can't get it back. So, you know, nowadays I don't take any days off. I'm 100% committed. And it's not just like in my endurance endeavors. That goes for work, that goes for kids. I'm living every day to the fullest because I'm not wasting another day.
I feel like in that moment when you finish, you know, you've kind of achieved a goal, but we talked earlier about goals and how that shouldn't be important to you. Is that still something that you are doing? Like, not necessarily focusing on the goal, but the journey?
100%. Like, whenever I set a goal now, I'm always more excited for the process, right? Because I've got another couple of world record attempts that I'll be doing later this year. And last year, I broke the world record for the fastest crossing of the UAE. If you look at that for what it is, the attempt took 5 days, 22 hours, right? But leading up to that was weeks and weeks and weeks and months of preparation, right? That's where the growth happens, because that takes place over months and months and months. So just by getting to the start line, you're already a better person. You know, that's what's valuable. That's what I can take with me.
Everton, how has this appreciating the journey mindset helped you be a better father to your kids?
With kids, right? You know, they don't do what you say. Yeah, they do what you do. I mean, I'm still not perfect, but I'm a much better role model than I was back then. They kind of see what I'm doing now and see that I'm making an impact, whether it's through the endurance stuff that I do, whether it's through my businesses, whether it's through the people that we help or the philanthropy work that I do. They see that, and they get into the age now that they're 6 and 5, by the way. They get into the age now where they're noticing these things, you know? So it definitely has an impact. And yeah, I'm just glad that I'm able to be a better role model than I was. I mean, the relationship with my wife has obviously massively improved, because that was the only thing that we used to fight about was my drinking and my smoking. The only thing that I've ever lied to her about was my alcohol and cigarette consumption. So I'm glad to kind of be on the back end of it. And look, it's still an ongoing process. I mean, some days are better than others, and I'm still working on it. I just do this because I can see that it has a clear impact on my businesses and the relationship I have with my family. And that's what I really care about. That's what's really important to me.
If someone out there listening today is struggling with addiction, what would you tell them to do?
Yeah, I think it's always a tricky one, because everyone's situation is different. But for me, it was I had to feel that pain. I had to be on the verge of losing everything before ultimately I had to change. And my advice to anyone out there, if you're dealing with addiction, if you're dealing with anything, this could be anything. This could be that there are multiple addictions out there. If you're dealing with anything, please get help, because you're not the only one out there. I mean, I went for it, and I did most of it alone because I wanted to put on a brave face. Looking back, I wish I reached out and spoke to someone about it, because yeah, it doesn't have to be that way. So I would guess it's just to, you know, reach out and try and get some outside help. That's the main thing.
It can be a lonely place, right? When you're going through depression, it feels like you're just the only person in the world with these feelings, but that's really never true, is it?
100%, 100%. And you're right, it is lonely. That's what, when you think that there's no way out, like you can deal with a period of pain if you know where the end is, or you know that, okay, I'm going to feel it for X amount of months or X amount of weeks. You have to do the work on yourself, because when I realized that it was me against me and I had to do this, that's the thing that kind of led to the change. So yeah, do get help, do get support, do listen to other people who have been through this, but ultimately understand that it's you and you can do it. Like it's within you, because I was there. Like if someone's listening to this and they feel like there's no way out, I felt exactly the same. I felt these are the others, people that saved themselves, people that got through, they're the others. I'm the one that is never going to get out of this. I was there and I was able to get out. So if I can do it, then they can do it as well.
How has everything you've learned and achieved helped you deal with setbacks and failures now?
I think what's mainly changed is my mindset. Only thing that changed was the way that I spoke to myself. And that's really important. If you can learn how to speak to yourself, we all have these negative feelings, like these feelings of you can't do it, you're not good enough. I used to listen to those a lot, but now I talk to myself and say, no, you can do it, you are good enough. And that positive self-talk can kind of get you through anything. And then the final thing I'll say on that is to expect things to go wrong. That's the main thing that kind of changed for me as well, is like, expect that your kids are going to make a mess and shout and everything. So don't get surprised when they do. Expect that in business, things are going to go wrong. Expect the deliveries are going to be late and you're going to have the issues here. And, you know, just if you can kind of anticipate those things rather than when it does happen, say, oh, yeah, it's the end of the world. Here we go. I'm a problem solver. Let's get this solved and go on to the next one. That kind of helped me a lot, was to expect and anticipate.
Well, Evren, I anticipate that people are just going to take so much from this episode. You went into such depth here with us today. And I just want to thank you so much for sharing your story with us here today.
Thank you, guys. I really appreciate you. And I'll say again, there is nothing special about me. We all have so much more inside you just waiting to be discovered. So I would encourage everyone just to dig a little bit deeper. You'll be amazed at what's inside. I certainly was.
JB, man, that was powerful.
For sure. Very raw. You know, you could tell he was like really telling this story from an emotional place, which was always nice to have on the podcast. And it's crazy how we're all sold that idea that like achievement's going to fill you up. And for him, it just made him feel more lost.
Yeah, I think a lot of people look at it as an end all, right? Mm-hmm. I think Evren said, I needed to lose everything to find out what really mattered. And that's a tough lesson, but it shows how far off we can be in our quest for the wrong kind of success.
Right. I mean, that story about his son, when he looks at his son, he realizes
it's brutal.
I'm not living the life that I want him to emulate, and I got to change. I mean, that part, obviously, you know, you'd have to be made of stone not to feel something during that story.
It was this true epiphany, you know, just rocked his world, and he knew he needed to change. And my boy, did he. I signed up for a 100-mile ultra marathon and ran it to prove to myself I could. Okay, crazy man.
It's not even just like a physical challenge at that point. It's mental, just to get yourself into that. You know, he said it's not about the finish line. It was about becoming the person who could run that race. And I think I love that.
I think his story kind of shows us, you know, that the real journey starts when you focus on who you are, not just on what you're trying to achieve. As I sit here and think about it, the takeaway for me is success isn't a shortcut to happiness. If anything, it's the other way around.
Yep. And if you need to run 100 miles to find it, maybe that's just the distance you need to go, right? Get your mind right.
Yeah, JB, I'm going to pass on the 100 miles, but I do see what you're saying there.
Yeah, I'm not signing up for that either, but transformation part, that's something we can all work on.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And I think we transformed the podcast to another level of greatness today with Evren as our guest. And if you enjoyed what you heard today from Evren, I think you should make it a point to tune in next Friday to listen to another great episode of The Worst Advice I Ever Got.